Welcome to Steve Dale's Pet World.
You don't have a better bad idea than this?
This is the best bad idea we have, sir.
If you've got pets, he's got answers.
You are a sad, strange little man.
Steve can help. We're positive.
Oh, God, this thing is going downhill fast.
You've got America's pet expert here on Steve Dale's Pet World.
WGN Radio, Steve Dale here. Very scary. Blah, 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 blah. Dr. Marty Becker is in the studio. Happy Halloween, Dr. Becker.
I tried to do my head like that thing, but it hurt too much at 64 years of age. Dun, 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 dun. Oh, God, it hurt my neck.
Dr. Becker is the singing veterinarian and also America's veterinarian who came up with this idea, and I want to get directly to it. Our phone number, 312-981-7200, or you can text at that same number, and I suspect we will get phone calls and text about this. America's veterinarian said one day, and I want to know how this happened, we ought to minimize fear, anxiety, and stress of visiting the veterinarian. This should not be acceptable, and it's been acceptable for far too long. Have I set it up okay?
Oh, gosh. So here we are, 2009, at a veterinary meeting, and I'll compress this. I'm in the back of the room with my Franklin Covey day planners. That date me? Plus an AOL.
What?
Plus
what are those?
Plus an AOL address. Right here, Steve. I still got it. There's a few listeners out there who know it's my day planner, my time management system.
Okay.
But Kieran, overall, aborted veterinary behaviors started talking about fear and saying fear is the worst thing a social species. You know, humans are social species. Dogs and cats are social species, could experience, and it caused permanent damage to the brain. And so I want to make it clear, I'm not, you know, Steve, you're one of the Fear Free Advisory Group members. There's a couple hundred of us. Of the couple hundred, Temple Grandin's the only gifted person, I think, personally, that is just gifted.
Yeah, and you've gotten to know her, which is, we could do a whole show on that.
Unbelievable.
But what is Fear Free? What are we talking about?
Well, what I was going to say, before I had that awakening, I also, you know, we used to stretch cats out to get a blood draw, and you'd witness this in the early days. I mean, really, you'd stretch them out where, you know, an 18-inch cat was 3 feet long.
So you'd go to the veterinarian,
yeah.
And first of all, getting the cat to the veterinarian was a deal in the first place, and it was like a snowball. So you chase around the house,
right.
Try to stuff the cat into the right. carrier, if you can even do that. By
right.
now, the cat is thinking, well, maybe even thinking I'm going to die, in
yeah.
my opinion, as
right.
you hear me talking
yeah.
about. Then you get to the clinic, and the cat is then sensing all these other pheromones of all these other cats that are thinking the same thing. By the time the cat is in the exam room, is it the flight or fight response?
100%. And then think about it. We don't want cats on counters at home. What do? We put them up on the
yeah.
sensei counter
yeah.
in the exam room. So, and I had this kind of awakening.
You physically, then, what we were talking about is you force the cat to be in a position to do whatever it is
right.
the veterinarian needed to
Often
do.
Often they take him into the back, and it was what we were taught. It
mm-hmm.
wasn't like we're, you know, something strange we're doing. And like for dogs, to trim their nails, you might have 500 pounds of people on an 18-pound dog to trim its nails. And that's not what we do anymore. So now, just think of like children. I'm 64 years old, and I was a young child. They did that to me. I was held down by three people. My sister got her ponytail pulled at the dentist to keep her mouth open. That
what?
Doesn't happen anymore.
Literally,
it's like
it.
No, it's like
they would pull her ponytail.
She was a human Pez dispenser. They mean, they jerk her ponytail and open up her mouth to Cheryl, boom, boom, and pull her tank. Well, Cheryl, guess what? She never got dental care her whole life, even though she was an Ivy educated physician. And this is what pet owners did. They saw their pets being traumatized. And you know what? Finally, all of a sudden now there's Dr. Bing, Dr. Google, to go online for research or go to the local pet store. And their pet likes to go to the pet store. So super premium food. And that pet store employee became the de facto pet health expert. And everybody lost. The pet lost. The pet owner lost. The profession lost. So now we call it taking the pet out of petrified and putting them back into veterinary practices where they belong.
And in fact, you have a book about all this. That book, it focuses on dogs more than cats, called From Fearful to Fear Free.
Yeah, and that's a book of the 25 books I've written. That's the one I'm the most proud about.
Why?
Because it looks at the emotional well-being of animals. And, you know, I'll take the book before that. Your Dog, the Owner's Manual. Steve, there's 100 books that are as good as that book. There really is, honest to God. And most people are not going to read a whole book anyway. They're going to read a book on, okay, I got a house selling problem. Let me just go online and find that snippet, right?
Right.
But this is the first book to look at. Your pet has thunderstorm phobias, noise phobias, road noise phobias, leash aggression. It's humping your leg. It's jumping up. We had two boarded veterinary behaviorists, and most people don't even know they're boarded veterinary behaviorists. And I'm happy to tell you now, 10 more just passed. So we've gone from 80 to 90. There are 90 boarded veterinary behaviorists. And by the way, of that, 60 are part of Fear Free. So I want to say, you know, we're up here. I don't know how many floors are up here.
18.
18 floors. The bedrock of Fear Free are boarded veterinary behaviorists. And then some of the PhD behaviorists like Brian Hare at Duke and Alexander Horowitz from Barnard.
All right, so I still want to do a, I think we can do a better job of explaining this. So what you thought about is that veterinarians for a long time have looked at the physical health of pets, but not the emotional health, and also the way in which dogs and cats are handled, not only before they are in the exam room, but even to get to the exam room, needs to be changed.
Well, yeah, the first course that veterinarians earn, it's an online education course, the module one.
So veterinarians are certified as individuals, veterinary nurses or technicians are certified, and entire practices can be certified.
40,000 individuals
what?
In a little over 2 years, and we're on our way in another year, 3 years will be 100,000. There's some places.
I want to talk. I'm sorry to interrupt, but I've got to talk about how significant those numbers are.
Yeah.
There are, I believe, 60,000 veterinarians or so in America. There are probably, what, about twice as many technicians? So you've got a quarter of the profession or near that in just less than 2 years.
In less than 2 years.
That's amazing.
Well, it shows you that nobody gets into veterinary medicine to make life worse for animals. So we had this awakening, collectively had this awakening. And you know, the other thing I think it's neat, Steve, and this goes back to you, the other big thing, so we have fearfreepets.com, which is for the profession, fearfreehappyhomes.com, which is for consumers, but our tagline for Fear Free Happy Homes, helping pets live happy, healthy, full lives, healthy veterinary medicine, happy, fear-free, you know, taking the pet out of petrified, full is enrichment. And I've heard you talk about that for decades about...
He says decades.
Geez. It is decades. It is decades. But, you know, some people think, you know, pets aren't made to be born retired. They need to express their genetic exuberance. And we now know, I was just talking to Dr. Tony Buffington, who we both know, one of the,
yep,
the world's feline experts. He's writing a chapter in a medical book about how stress... Fear, anxiety, and stress affects medical components, you know. So they're painting in the numbers of what we've always known to be true. You can't stress a young child out. Remember when they used to do circumcisions and open-heart surgery on children without anesthesia or any kind of, you know, sedation or pain medication? We've learned a lot, you know.
So we have several questions here, 312-981-7200. I'll take one before we break. My dog seems to pace at night. Around 9 or 10 o'clock at night. I have no idea why. Why do you think that dog is pacing? That's all we know. We don't know where in the house the dog is doing.
You know, when you talk to boarded veterinary behaviorists, they always tell you to look at what happens just preceding that or what happens during that event. And it may not have been something that's happening now. It could have been an alarm in the building. It could have been a dog barking that gave out a territorial threat. But, you know, I have a dog at home that every time it walks up the bar, it saw a bunny one time in one spot.
It saw what?
A wild bunny. So
yeah, yeah.
We have snowshoe rabbits that are white in the winter, and then they turn brown in the summer.
They really do that. See, he's up in Idaho, friends.
Yeah,
that's why.
I'm up in the mountains. So here's this bunny, and it went underneath this pile of logs, right? 5 years ago, every time we go to the barn, the dog goes up and checks that pile of logs. So, every time.
Yep, it's the same thing as me. So yesterday I'm taking the dogs for a walk, and in our where we live, lots of the stores have biscuits for the dogs, and our dogs know exactly which stores those are. So we get by one of them, and I walk, this is like a mile from our house, but I'm happy to walk there because I remembered, forget about the dog biscuits, I knew they had the dog biscuits, I remember they had Halloween candy. I went there for the Halloween candy. A year later, I remembered that. The sad part about it, they didn't have any Halloween candy.
Oh.
It is 6:45 on WGN Radio. The great Marty Becker is in the studio. America's veterinarian. We want to know if you are sick and tired of seeing your Cook County property taxes increase every year. That's the case for so many, right? Express Tax Appeals. is determined to put your hardworking tax dollars back where they belong, in your pocket. They use state-of-the-art technology to guarantee that you're paying the lowest possible amount on your taxes with no upfront fees and an A-plus rating from the Better Business Bureau. You have nothing to lose, everything to gain. Visit ExpressTaxAppeal.com, E-X-P-R-E-S-S, TaxAppeals.com, for a free estimate. Begin taking control of your property taxes. ExpressTaxAppeals.com. WGN Radio, Steve Dale with Dr. Marty Becker in studio, America's veterinarian. And we're talking about an initiative called Fear Free, fearfreehappyhomes.com, for more information. I have a text here about dogs left outside, and I'm so glad, whoever you are, that you sent me this text. It is the best text, I believe, even though it just says dogs outside, that I've received in like 10 years. And here's why. And I need to do this for your website, actually, because I took video of this. There's a dog tied up outside a, I think it was a Potbelly's, whatever it was, a fast food place. And the dog was clearly unhappy. First of all, in Chicago, and I know this, Dr. Becker, because I wrote the law myself, the ordinance. It is actually against the law to do that because we worry dogs could get away and then run out into the street. But dogs are rarely happy when their people go inside, and this dog wasn't. This dog was crying. You can see, aside from what you heard, you could just, if the video had no sound, you could still see this dog was very, very unhappy. We don't need to do this to our dogs. Is that what Fear Free is about for all of us who are pet owners?
So it's not just going to the veterinarian or going to the groomer. It's all situations. So, Steve, you've often looked at the Starbucks patio, for example. You're not giving every dog a treat by taking him there. Often those pets are stressed. And the thing about that dog that's outside that Potbelly's restaurant, there may be a car come by or maybe a siren or a horn or another dog. That's not when it's amygdala. That little almond-shaped thing that sits deep in the brain, that memory is always there. So they might associate it with being on a leash, being on that street, and now they're permanently damaged. And, you know, I'd love to forget about my parents arguing about getting a divorce when I was 6 or 7 years old, but it's in the amygdala. And all these events for pets, thunderstorm phobias, 4th of July, when they're trembling and thinking they're going to die, or even going to the vet for a nail trim. And last time there were 3 people held them down. They think they're going to die.
So we thought, you know, we talked earlier about the dog who remembers a year later where there are dog cookies. But if it's a negative experience, that is also remembered.
Yeah, and you know, there's things you can do. The lucky thing is, I remember Temple Grandin, who we spoke of earlier, for those of you that don't know, she's autistic, and she can just see and feel and hear what animals feel. There's a great movie done about her in a book called Animals in Translation, yeah. A number one New York Times bestseller. But you can't parse out with an animal what happened. Like, if they don't want to go to the vet, were they just scared of the table? Would the vaccine sting too much? Did their nails get trimmed too short? Were they taken in the back and they hurt another animal? You don't know. Mm-hmm. So she said, short of going to another veterinarian, what do you do? And there's now things we can do to calm your pet. So there's things we can give, either natural, that are like green tea extracts or milk proteins, or other things that are prescription products. But even for the pet that's had a lot of damage, we can help them come in there with a wagon tail and still taking treats. So we give a lot of treats. And I've seen videos of your dogs headed to the veterinary hospital. They pull you in like a sled dog team on the outskirts of Nome delivering vaccine. They do. It's like the diphtheria thing back in the Iditarod, because they know they're going to get cookies inside the veterinary hospital.
Yes, and it generally is a good experience, because where we go happens to be the first fear-free clinic in Illinois, and we go to fear-free veterinarians that are certified. How does one, so if someone likes the idea of what we're talking about, and I hope incidentally that you do, how does one search for a fear-free veterinarian?
Go to fearfreehappyhomes.com and just put in your zip code or your town, and you'll find people that are certified. And there's more and more, again, it's really taken off. So, you know, and hopefully if you're not seeing and you read about fear-free happy homes, it might be good to nudge your veterinarian that way. Some veterinarians say, well, we're doing everything, but we don't call it fear-free. And I had somebody a couple weeks ago that came up after a keynote. And Steve, you know how this is like doing keynotes. Somebody runs up real fast. I thought they were coming up to tell me what a great job I did. No, they poked me on right here where it says fear-free on this patch. I I've outlawed fear-free in my practice. Nobody's doing fear-free. Two veterinarians said if we didn't do it, they were going to leave. And I said, get the blank out the door.
What?
And I said, why? And he said, because we're seeing so many injuries. And I said, well, that's odd. Actually, the injuries go way down in fear-free. Are you using these terms, you know, if you're fear-free certified? Considered approach, gradient touch, gentle control.
Right.
What's that? He had no idea. He hadn't gone through, and I said, you haven't gone through certification. Oh, no, we do everything. We just don't call it fear-free. No. There's 200 people that created these online education programs. You know, it's not a can
of easy
cheese. And these aren't
200 random people.
Yeah, a pheromone plug-in, right?
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. It's not just a matter of doing one or two things. From the veterinary perspective, how about from the pet owner perspective? Are there things, aside from buying your book, From Fearful to Fear-Free, that we can do, not only for dogs, but also for cats, to minimize maybe fear that we don't even recognize, I would argue, that sometimes we don't recognize in our pets that goes on every day. Now, I'll let you talk about this. Of course, if the dog is startled by something, you're walking down the street, someone turns the corner and the dog is startled, that's natural to feel that fear for that split second. That's different than being fearful every single day or nearly every day of one's life, which we know is detrimental.
Well, you know, think of a cat at home that gets attacked or has a threat of attack every time it goes to the bathroom. It wants to go to the bathroom, the litter box, but there's another cat that guards it. Or the other cat's looking out the window, sees another cat, and then has redirected aggression. That'd be like going to school when you know you're gonna get bullied. And I think the biggest thing coming up, Steve, that's still in its infancy is recognizing how pain goes into fear. So I still remember when this started, fear is caused by something painful or something disturbing. Almost every pet that goes to the vet that's not for wellness visit is in pain. It has a torn nail. It was attacked. It's got a sore ear. It's got sore gums. It's got sore hips. It's got a skin issue. It's got diarrhea. Everything is painful. So this is a one-year-old child. It doesn't understand why the procedure benefits it, and it can't anticipate or expect the relief of pain. So if that pet just goes in, typically, it associates the person and the place with its pain. And that's why we're starting to also see people give things, we call them pre-visit pharmaceuticals, mm-hmm. so the pet doesn't recognize this painful experience. I actually have analgesia and something to calm, you know, which is a painkiller, and something to calm the pet.
And, you know, the response from pet owners oftentimes is, you hear it too all the time, well, I don't want to drug my pet. I would argue that it's a more humane thing to do, that your pet isn't terrified.
Well, I have depression, and I can't will myself to not have depression. And so a pet that is anxious...
Any more than someone can will themselves not to have diabetes. I mean, right. To me, there's no difference.
Or to need an anticonvulsant or a thyroid supplement or an antibiotic for an infection. They can't. It's in the amygdala. And you have to give them the gift of that visit where it's pleasant. And that's one of the things people will see in a fear-free hospital. We call it putting the treat into treatment. But literally, it's almost like an auger that just keeps giving them treats. And it's called a distraction technique. And the great thing about that, I actually had somebody the last time I practiced about 2 weeks ago, new client, a little skeptical, but she came because she heard we were fear-free. And we got all done, and I said the dog's name was Chubbs. So you can imagine what this dog looked like. It fit it, right? Chubbs, you made Dr. Becker so proud, and good job. And I started to lift off the table. Aren't you going to vaccinate it? I did. Already did. We're all done. You did? I did. No, yep. You didn't. She didn't think I did. And I said, listen, I can't revaccinate it because the vaccines are hidden under a towel that's impregnated with pheromones. She never saw it. The pet never saw it. That's what we want, right?
And the pet never felt it.
Yeah, so I actually had to have her feel the lump. And what a thing. She goes, oh, my God, you did vaccinate it. That was a good feeling.
Yeah. Well, it must be a good feeling for you. We're out of time, but it must be a good feeling for you to know that you've made an enormous difference in the veterinary field. And it goes beyond that. Because now there are dog trainers that are fear-free certified. There are dog groomers being fear-free certified. There are animal shelters being fear-free certified. The veterinarians in school, as they come up, are being fear-free certified. The bus driver who got me here, fear-free certified. Everyone is fear-free certified. Really, Dr. Becker, you're incredible.
Well,
thank you.
I want to thank you, too, for your work on the enrichment piece, Steve. I mean that. You've talked about it for a long time. And Tony Buffington, again, who I mentioned earlier.
Well, he's the guru.
He's kind of the guru, but he never thought in his lifetime we'd be able to do this for pet owners.
But you're doing it, and you're the one who got it done, and only you could have gotten it done, incidentally. Pets aren't like family. They are family. That's why the doctors and staff at MedVet Chicago are always there when you and your pets need them the most. They're located at the corner of Belmont Western and Clybourne. MedVet provides emergency specialty and critical care 24/7. That's the whole idea. You talked about veterinary behaviorist. I mean, people don't know necessarily until they, I stopped to think about it. Now I know. There are veterinary cardiologists, veterinary neurologists, veterinary specialists in internal medicine and cancer, on and on. All of those specialists are at a home called MedVet Chicago. You can learn more about them at 773-281-7110 or check them out at medvetforpets.com. MedVetforPets.com, MedVet Chicago.